Welcome to the Parish the Thought Show. The opinions of Brian, your host, and his guests have not been sanitized or scientifically tested, so please consume at your own risk. Now, here's Brian.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and whoever else is listening, welcome back to the program. With me today is Rebecca Wolf, the author of The Gift of a Punishment-Free Childhood, A New Way to Parent for a New World. Welcome, Rebecca. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
The title of that book is what sparked my interest in having you on, because there's so many questions about it. I guess we need to define punishment, because it has a negative connotation in our culture. It's never a happy thing.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my definition of punishment is really where we are trying to control somebody's behavior with a negative consequence or repercussion. And so it's everything from spanking to slapping a hand to taking away privileges to grounding. So it's really any time that we have that we as a parent inflict a negative consequence on a child in order to control their behavior.
You mentioned grounding, and I had these flashbacks when I was a kid.
When you were grounded or when you grounded your children?
Oh, when I think I maybe grounded my kid like once, because it was useless for me. I hated it. And I almost wanted my dad, like, just punch me in the face or whatever. Just get it over with. I don't want, it's doing the time and being isolated and having your freedoms restricted. Did it work? I don't know. Maybe. I can't really remember, but I hated it. I know that.
Yeah.
Because it was so long and torturous.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, tell us how, I mean, because a kid will do what a kid's going to do by nature. Mm-hmm. They're going to find the path of least resistance, usually. Having a parent, you know, a parent of four adult children now, and watching them grow and watching my family with, we were a Brady Bunch family, five kids, all had the same rules. All of us adhered to them in our own little various ways, much to my father's dismay or happiness, depending on who it was.
Well, I'll share. I too raised four children that are now adults for the most part. And they're actually separated two sets by about 10 years. And when I had my younger two, that's when I said, you know, I can see by what's happening in the world. I share in my book that I live not too far from the Columbine shooting. You know, when we look around at all the violence in the world, oftentimes it's because people are feeling justified to punish. You know, lots of factors contributed to the Columbine shooting, but primarily those two boys walked into that high school wanting to punish their classmates for bullying them and picking on them. And so my thought process, whether right or wrong, was that children learn what they live. And most of our children live with significant punishment. You do something wrong, you get punished. And so that's what they learn. When they see somebody do something wrong, then they feel that it's okay for them to punish. And so what if we didn't teach children that punishment was the only answer? And so I embarked on a social experiment with my children at that point in time. Felt a little guilty, felt a little scared. What if I wrecked them? You know, is this the right or wrong thing to do? But I raised my two younger children with no punishment. And then my older two also benefited because they were about 10 and 12. And we really just created a household where there was no punishment. And I can share that they, you know, came out just fine, right? They're not, you know, I think the fear is that they're going to become permissive or they're going to become people who feel like they can get away with things. And that is absolutely not at all what happened, right? They're well-adjusted, have strong moral compass. They're intrinsically motivated to do schoolwork or to help out other people, because that's what they were given, right? They were raised in a environment where we kind of respect each other. We don't punish each other, right? We help each other. We teach each other. And So that becomes the way that they engage with the world and with other people. And I think it's very important. I think when people first think about this, because we've always used punishment to control behavior, it's like, well, then how do you control behavior? You must not. You must just let them run wild and do whatever they want. And that actually isn't what I did, right? I certainly supported them in learning how to behave in the world. They were told no, right? Saying no is not a punishment.
No way. You didn't. You told them no?
I did tell them N-word, no.
That's the other N-word.
Wow. So, you know, it's a... I don't know. I think it's a strategy that we need to consider.
So someone could say, well, yeah, great. That works for your kids, but they're not my kids. So do you find that this method, based on research or other people that are doing it, does it work across the board? Because I know I look at my kids, each one of them different. And I developed this theory years ago that we as parents have about 15% influence in how they turn out. And the rest is just, we sort of have to follow them and see what, do enough to keep them out of jail or whatever it is, but just sort of allow them to be them, because I look at my kids and they are the same person that they were when they were little, personality wise. Nothing's really that much different.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can look back at behaviors of when my children were infants, and you could see differences and you could see how that carried on into the rest of their life. So I agree. Each child does bring their own personality. I think that this works for any child. You know, part of what you have to do as a parent is be creative and to be connected enough with your child to know what they need. You know, we can't parent each of our children the same way because they are so different and have such different needs. And so you have to be creative in your strategies and how you, you know, what you do as a parent is really set up those guardrails, those boundaries, and then support them in learning how to stay within those guardrails. You know, one of the things I always say is children don't get up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to misbehave today. 99.9% of the time when they misbehave, it's an accident, right? It's a mistake. And so when they're punished for making a mistake, rather than feeling like, oh, I shouldn't do that again, typically they feel like, that was unjust. I didn't mean to do that, right? And so that's why punishment tends to not work. And there is significant data on how punishment doesn't work. And that's because all you're doing is creating an environment where your children are walking on eggshells because they don't know when you're going to get mad at them or when they're going to be punished, because they don't necessarily recognize that what they're doing is punishable. They're living their lives, they're exploring the world, and it's our responsibility to say, hey, hold on, that's not how we talk to someone, right? If two siblings are fighting, right? So you guide them and support them. You say no, you say, here's the right way, here's the wrong way. You talk to them about, let them start doing some of the problem solving so they start thinking about, how do I solve conflict? How do I start to control my emotions? And I'm a believer that it works for everyone. And it's partly because a lot of what drives this method is that all humans, their number one need is to be connected, to be part of a community, right? We're social beings.
Do you think like this method, because I think of like the work environment, and so many work environments are fear-based. You know, you fear your boss. The bosses have you say boss and it's a negative stereotype immediately, right? It's never like, oh, I love my boss. You're like, oh, I love my manager maybe, but I don't love my boss. You know, and the whole, those phrases around being a boss. I wonder if this could be implemented on that level as well.
I do. I would like to see a series of these books, right? So I think the next one, though, is relationships, our intimate relationships, right? I think that's where, because we've learned to punish, now it's typically a different kind of punishment, right? Typically, if we're mad at our partner, it's because the way that we punish them is a lot of times we don't talk to them, or we withhold our attention, or, you know, sometimes people fight and yell. I mean, I think that, and I will share That's one of the things I'm most looking forward to is when my two younger children get into committed relationships. Right now they're 20 and 22. And to see if how they were raised actually contributes to that healthy relationship. Because I think that we take this punishment paradigm into our relationships in our homes and, like you said, in the workplace. And so I think there's a book on the gift of a punishment-free workplace. I think we need a punishment-free schools, punishment-free relationships. But I think, of course, the most important is that punishment-free childhood.
What about the massive prison population? Do you think that is because there was not enough punishment, or maybe it's not that simple. Maybe it's more things, but, you know, or they had too much or not enough? One extreme or the other? What's your thinking on that?
Yeah, I think it's too much. I think it's too much punishment, right? Because what the other piece of what punishment, well, two things that I think contribute to that. One is that as children, they were punished too much, right?
By their parents?
By their parents, by the schools, by the, right, by society. And so I think that contributes, because what punishment really does is it does a lot of things. Oftentimes it creates anger, right? We know, and this is researched for sure, we know that bullies are typically bullied at home. So if a child bullies other children, that's because that's what they know, right? They've been bullied. They have a controlling parent or an abusive parent, and then that's how they go out into the world. So certainly, I think too much punishment contributes to that. Also, in some ways, the opposite of that is not enough attention, not enough
good attention,
parenting, good attention, right? I think that, unfortunately, we still have populations where parents just are not available for any number of reasons, whether it's because they're living in extreme poverty and parents are working two and three jobs, whether there are addiction issues in families, right? Those environments where a child isn't getting that discipline, because this is not a no discipline approach. This is a no punishment approach. We discipline through teaching, right? So without that guidance, without that community, children would have a tendency to go off the rails and potentially end up in our correctional.
So basically our entire culture is set up this way as a punishment. Is that kind of what you've come to realize? And I was going to say, where do you think that came from? Is there some origin for that? Has it always been that way in the research you've done, or?
You know, I did share some research on the origin of punishment. You know, a lot of it came in when we look across cultures that are highly hierarchical, right? Where this person is in charge, this person holds the power, right? Those types of cultures tend to do more punishment, and because punishment is a great way to control, right? And I talk about that, right? I'm not saying that. So punishment works in the short term, right? If I say to my child, you know, if you don't do XYZ, I'm taking away your most cherished stuffed animal, right? And see that that's like hits me in the heart, you know, that as parents, we actually do the worst thing we can think of to our child to get them to behave, to control their behavior. So so punishment works in the short term, but the problem with it is all the long-term consequences. So now, with that example, I've damaged that relationship. This child is now devastated, thinking that they're going to have their most cherished stuffed animal taken away, right? So I've put something between the two of us, right? So we're no longer as close as we were. They're nervous now, like, oh my gosh, what if I make that mistake again? You know, how do I know that this isn't going to happen in a day or two? So now they start to be nervous and wondering, you know, when this is going to happen again. And in many cases, that punishment, especially as they get older and it gets repeated, they get angry and they get frustrated. And pretty soon they're just like, you know what? Next time I'm just not going to get caught. So, you know, punishment works in the short term. to and avoid it does that, work to control behavior
because they want to avoid that confrontation or that. Mm-hmm. Well, I think about to a workplace, you know, I just left a workplace that was decent, but there was a lot of fear-based management, and I never felt like I could speak freely about mm-hmm. suggestions about how to make the, you know, the place better without fear of like, oh, if I say that now, am I going to be on the chopping block next? And that's a horrible way to live and exist because you're just grinding away trying to avoid the radar.
Exactly.
Someone you don't respect, you know, at a minimum, you don't respect them. So I guess, yeah, we...
And think about that happening in the family, right? So a child doesn't feel like they can talk to their parent because what if I get in trouble? You know, I had a fight with a friend and I'm really hurting, but if I tell my parents about it, I might get in trouble. So I just won't tell them.
Well, that's interesting. My two oldest daughters have left the faith that we raised them in. And we have a really good relationship with them now, but there was a time when they were afraid to talk to us and kind of pushed us away. And we raised them, you know, thinking that it was the right way. We didn't know any different really. But now I look back and they were afraid to mention, they had all these concerns and fears and about how the culture was. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to come to us because in their mind, we think we were just a, you know, a robot for a minion for the culture, I guess.
Yeah.
Is how they looked at it. Pretty scary, I guess.
Yeah. So it's, you know, and so that, you know, that becomes the gift of this, right? The gift of this approach is that it nurtures the parent-child relationship. It ensures that children feel free to talk to parents because we really do want to be there for them. But it's oftentimes we're the ones who create that environment where they don't feel safe. And then the last piece of it is this really becomes a gift to the parent. And so what I realized as I kind of came to the end of parenting these two was that this approach was really a gift to me as a parent, because if you think about what it takes to punish another person, right? You feel angry, you feel frustrated, you feel disconnected, right? And I didn't have any of that with these two.
Right? You sort of play the good cop, bad cop. And yeah, you don't want to, I was like, I don't want to be the bad guy, but you're making me be the bad guy.
And that doesn't feel good. But when you take punishment out of the picture and say, we're just going to work on this together, we're going to figure out how to help you learn what you need to learn to function on this planet, then it becomes positive.
Say, well, so is this method a lot more difficult? Because it seems like punishment is just an easy reaction. It's easy to do. It's almost like, I'll be doing something for my kid just because it's so much easier for me to do it than teach them how to do it. I don't have the time. I'll just do it. It's easier for me.
Yes.
Is that why people don't? Because it's a whole paradigm shift. Is that why?
It's a whole paradigm shift, and it requires you to be, the best word is creative, right? You have to stop and think, because our initial reaction is going to be punishment. You're right. Yep. It's easy. Punishment.
Bring the hammer
is
down.
Yep. We know how to do that. It was done to us, right? And so in this environment, you have to kind of stop and say, you know, think through, okay, how do I want to approach this? And how do I remain calm? Because that's the other piece, is you walk into a room and two kids are fighting. The first thing you want to do is engage in that fight and yell at them and tell them to stop. And yet what you have to do is remain calm and kind of bring that adult calmness. Okay. Right. And so absolutely it is harder because it takes creativity. It takes flexibility. One example, when I did some earlier, I did a lot of research, obviously a lot of reading, and there was a book, Redirecting Children's Behavior. And in this book, it said, don't use the word don't, right? And so instead of telling children what you don't want them to do, tell them what you do want them to do, right? Phrase everything and here's the behavior I expect versus don't do this, don't do that. But what was so funny when I implemented that is you find yourself like stuttering because you know, the example I sometimes use is if a child is tipping back in the chair, the first thing you want to say is don't tip back in your chair. And so I would find myself going, and then having to think through, what do I want? Right. And so I would have to stammer and then finally say, keep all four legs on the floor, because that's going to be the safest way to sit in the chair and the chair is not going to get broken. So yeah, so it was challenging. It's very challenging to take the word don't out of your language when you're trying to teach your children on how to behave. So it is a more challenging way to parent, primarily because it's so new. It's not how it doesn't come naturally. Although eventually it does, I will say.
Yeah, of course, you change your thinking. Mm-hmm. My wife works in residential treatment for adolescents and has for like 15 years. So it's been a godsend, really, for the things that she's picked up and brought home to us. And of course, you know, we don't implement as well in our own family because that's what she does all day. And we come home and sort of forget. It's like, you know, the carpenter that doesn't want to build the extra room when he comes home because he's tired. Like, she doesn't mm-hmm. want to correct. Just love him.
Right.
So, Bill Cosby, years ago, he had this special called Himself. It was like literally, it was like 40 years ago, 1984. I remember seeing it. And he talks about he had five children. And he said, the reason we had five children is because we do not want six. And then he talks about going into the room and they're all fighting back and forth. And the parent gets in there and they see this chaos like we just talked about. And he says, and you hit the child that's not being bad and you just want quiet. You don't care who's at fault, who's in charge. You just want silence. So you'll do anything for that. And you'll sacrifice other kids in the family to get mm-hmm. the one that's the problem child calm down, which is really
true. Right. That's that easy fix.
But it's an easy not fix. Because correct. It's not a fix. It's easy because you're just reacting. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely just slowing down and thinking. I mean, I'm learning that in my relationship. You know, I've been married 25 years and still things that set me off are from like when I was a kid and getting told off or, you know, getting scolded by my mommy and certain things. And I remember that. And, you know, I'm 55 and I'm still working through those feelings and like, where does that come from? You know, not being good enough or being afraid and always wanting to please your parents and, oh, life, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, I actually talk about that too. You know, our children are our greatest teachers, as are our, you know, intimate partners. And, you know, you do have to start taking a hard look at what triggers you, because a child may say something to me that completely triggers me. And the first thing I want to do is respond negatively. They could say that same thing in your family, and because that's not one of your triggers, you would just brush it off. And so I spend a whole chapter just about talking about kind of that self-work, right? Thinking about, you know, what are some things that you need to look at yourself? You know, what are your children teaching you? What are those hot buttons? What are those triggers? And how to address those?
I just had this thought that my adult children point out things now that they probably noticed when they were little, but didn't know how to articulate. So maybe we should, as a requirement, have our children move back in for a year after they, after they become, you know, official adults and they've lived on their own for a while. And then they could point out things. Oh yeah, Dad, you married. Yeah. This is what you do. Why do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
That would be actually really helpful. I think we got it. Yeah. There's another series right there.
There you go.
Ever having our kids teach us. You know, before we get so old, they have to change diapers for us or something like that. But
yeah, they're our best teachers.
Yeah, if we let them, if mm-hmm. we allow it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we're not,
it's because we have such a close relationship. Anytime you have a close relationship with somebody, it's going to, for one, you're going to feel safe. You're not going to have on your outside face, right? You feel safe in that environment. And yeah, those things emerge. They bring out the best and the worst. So you can learn a lot about yourself. Being a parent.
And we inadvertently damage our kids so much, probably we don't even realize. You know, I'm mm-hmm. not even trying to screw my kids up, but I probably have done a great deal of damage just because as adults and parents, we have our own crap we're trying to work through and just giving each other grace, parent to child, child to parent.
Exactly. I believe that we're all here for our own journey, and children are going to learn from their families what they need to learn, and we're going to learn from them, and it's all okay. It is that giving of grace. You know, and I say that over and over again. Don't beat yourself up, right? Get up the next day and just try to do better, because we all make mistakes.
Yeah, suck less.
Suck less.
Suck less. Breathe more, suck less.
Yes.
Well, what haven't I asked you about this concept you're talking about in the book you've written?
Yeah.
I feel like we could go on and on, but mm-hmm. as we land this plane a little, what more do you want people to know? And
you know, I think in some ways my favorite part of this is yes, we're supporting children and becoming open-hearted adults that hopefully go out into the world and have better relationships and better work environments, right? They become those bosses that don't create fear. And, but really, I think my favorite part of this is really how much it benefits the parent in being able to parent without punishment. One of the things that kind of rang true for me is that idea of as without, so within. And what I mean by that is if I choose to be kind to my children, to create an environment where they feel safe, if I give them grace, we work together, right? That's how I am being outward. That tends to be how I am inward, which means my own self-talk, my own inner environment tends to provide grace, tends to be compassionate, tends to be kind. And so we can really see that, you know, as we create these families and households where we're using other tools besides punishment to help our children learn to exist on the planet, it's really benefiting everybody, not just them. So that's really has become one of my favorite messages about this work is how much it can change your life as well as your children.
Well, and we're raising adults, not kids, really.
That's right. I actually say that in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're raising a human, an adult mm-hmm. human, not the little kid.
I think that, you know, the other conversation is around the idea of power. You know, we briefly started to talk about the origins of punishment, and it really originates out of this idea of power over and who has the power. And so one of the things that's important in these family environments is to really think about that. And that if the parents hold all the power and the children have no power, you know, at what point do we flip a switch and say, okay, now it's okay for you to have power? And so is it when they leave the house? Is it when they turn 16? Is it when they turn 21? Which, if you think about it, that sounds a little nuts, right? Like, how do you all of a sudden learn how to be powerful or how to have power?
You're responsible now.
Yeah, exactly. And so part of this work is giving your children as appropriate amounts of power based on their developmental stage, right? So, you know, giving them a voice so that they feel like they can, you know, talk about what's important to them, giving them choice, right? So we know how important it is that we give them, we allow them to make as many choices as possible, because we want them to make mistakes. We want them to make the wrong choice when they're with us and we can help them. Right. We don't want to be the one making all the choices and then send them off to college in another state. And now all of a sudden they're having to make choices for the first time. And then when they make a mistake, it's a little more challenging. And so really thinking about how much adultness can I give them? And you want to try to give them as much as is developmentally appropriate. Right.
Giving because them the power then, to make use their own agency.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Well, I look at it like in terms of driving, for example, my dad, we lived out in the middle of nowhere, and my dad would let me, when I was little, sit on his lap and steer the car. The moment I could reach the pedals, which is probably age 10, he let me go off and learn how to drive on my own. So by the time I was 16 and got my license, I knew what I was doing.
You're a pro.
And there are so many kids who their parents won't let them get near a vehicle and and then they're legal, technically, air quotes, mm-hmm. and don't have a clue what they're doing. So they're legally dangerous now. And that's, yeah, this is a perfect analogy for that, really.
It's a perfect analogy.
You know, yeah. Give them, because
your dad was doing what was appropriate for your age.
Yeah. And because, yeah, if you don't, then the mistakes they make the news, I guess, you know, Columbine, mm-hmm. you mentioned you started off with Columbine. That's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Any final thoughts before we get all your contact details and let people know how to reach you?
You know, I usually like to end with that reminder to not be hard on yourself, right? That, you know, sometimes people listen to this and go, oh my gosh, I've failed. Right. And that is not at all the case. Right. Again, this is an opportunity to start tomorrow. And if you fail tomorrow, then you get to start again the next day. And it doesn't matter if you have a 2-year-old or even but 20, they're pretty much out of the way, but let's say a 16-year-old, right? I mean, I can only imagine how amazing it would feel to be a 16-year-old who's had a parent that's taken your phone away and has grounded you and all these things. You know, you're frustrated, and to have a parent come in and say, hey, I want to try something different. I want us to work together on supporting you and learning, you know, how to recover from your mistakes without using punishment. And I'm sure you could just feel the relief of that child, right? I think that, you know, my final message is always be kind to yourself and have grace for yourself as you venture into this idea of how you relate to your children and perhaps not using punishment anymore as you support them.
I tell my kids often, I said, hey, today is the first day I'm a parent of a 20, whatever year old you are. Today's a new day. So this is new for me today. And they see that they're seeing that, which is refreshing. And they realize, oh yeah, mom and dad weren't trying to destroy us. They had their own crap. And when you're a kid, you don't realize that your parents have stuff. And, and if you came in and said that whole, let's do this new approach, they'd look at you like, all right, where's the aliens that stole my parents? And you look just like them, but you're not acting like them. Well, thank you. How do people reach you?
So I have a website. It's RebeccaWolf.com. So RebeccaWolfe.com. And my book's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. So The Gift of a Punishment-Free Childhood.
I love it.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on. It's been an interesting discussion, and I've learned a little bit more today than I knew yesterday. So that's a bonus.
Yes. So. Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure to chat with you.
You too.
It's funny,
well.
you took words right out of my mouth. So we're definitely on the same wavelength.
You think after 5 years of doing this, I might learn something?
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to the Parish the Thought Show. We know you have many podcast options and appreciate that you have chosen us. If you love what you hear, please give us a rating on whatever platform you find us. And don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. If you hate what you hear, only tell us. You're still here? Click on the next episode for more from The Parish the Thought Show.